Okay, today's date is February the 15th, 2011. I'm Patsy Colbert, and I am in the home of Sonny Neeland today, and we're going to do an oral history interview pertaining to the integration of the Little League. But first, Sonny, if we can, just begin and tell me when and where you were born.
Burke, Texas.
Burke, Texas, huh? And when?
1940, November 20th, 1940.
Okay. And what's your family background? Was your family from Burke originally?
Yeah.
Okay, and who are your parents?
LB and Irma Neeland.
Okay. And did you graduate from Dieball High School?
Yes.
And what year was that?
1959.
Okay. Now, did you stay in Dieball after high school graduation?
Yes, I did.
So you've been here all your life?
All my life.
Okay. Now, our focus today is mainly on the Little League program, and this is part of our oral history project pertaining to integration of Dieball Public Schools as well as community things like Little League. So I found in a Free Press article where the Little League program was actually organized here in 1952. Were you involved with it at that point?
No.
Okay. Do you have any knowledge of how, you know, when they organize the program?
No, not when they first talked about it. I don't.
Okay, so when did you become involved with Little League?
I became involved in 1961.
Oh, okay. And how did that come about?
My uncle was coaching a team, and him and J.L. Smith, and J.L. had quit, and he'd asked me to come in and help him, and that's when I got started.
Okay. Well, just for the record, J.L. Smith was my father-in-law,
right.
So that's why I thought that was interesting. Okay, and in 1961, then, when you first became involved, where were the fields? Where did y'all play?
The fields at that time was there by where the bank is, First Bank and Trust is now.
Okay.
It was right in that area.
Now, I know the Miller's Park.
Was
kind of where the History Center is.
Right.
Was that the same field, or they have Little League Field and
they
Miller's Park
Field? They had Little League Field, too, yeah.
Oh, okay,
we
so
had
they
Little
had
League
both.
Field, yes.
Okay. So there would have been the Miller's Park, where the Miller's team played,
right.
And there were Little League Fields.
Yeah, right.
All in that area. Okay.
In fact, by that time, they may have already torn down that Miller's Park. I'm not sure about that. I believe they had, though.
In 61, when you started?
No, they hadn't either. They tore it down shortly after, though.
Okay.
But it was in that same area. There's all in that same area.
Now, in 61, when you became involved with Little League, now, were you employed with the company this time?
No, I was not.
Okay. So you just had an interest in the sport and helping the kids. Okay. Did you have children involved in the sport?
No, I didn't.
Do you know how the program was funded at that point? In the early 60s here?
At that point, to the best of my knowledge, it was just what we could raise through the concession stand, I believe.
Okay.
And they sold candy and stuff like that every year. But
so they had a concession stand then, just like we do now?
Yes.
Okay. Who ran the concession stand?
The mothers of the ball team ran the concession stand.
Okay. Like just volunteers?
Volunteers.
Just like today,
kind of. Yeah.
Okay. How many teams were there then?
Four
teams. Can you name them? Do you know?
Let's see. They had the Yankees, the Indians, the Cubs, and the Dodgers. Okay. I was coached the Dodger team, which at that time it was the Burke Dodgers. Dieball had three teams and Burke had one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I know in the 52 article that I was reading, they actually formed the Little League with Corrigan and Chester in 52, and each town had like two teams. Anyway, there was enough to make five teams, and that's how it got started.
Yep.
So, in 52, they didn't have enough to just play locally like they do now. Now, by 61... were these all local Dieball and Burke teams?
Dieball had three teams and Burke
had the one.
Yes.
And did y'all play other towns?
No, we did not.
Just stayed inside
here?
Okay.
Except in All-Star, of course.
Yeah, then just like today.
Yeah, just like today.
Now, so there were four teams then. Do you know when they integrated the Little League program?
Exactly what year?
Well, I know this might just help a little bit. I noticed in a Free Press photograph, June 1st, 1967, you coached the Dodgers,
right,
and you had Emmett King.
Yeah.
Would that have been the first integrated team that you coached?
It was in that area because Emmett started playing ball for me when he was 10 years old.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how old, but it would be pretty close to that. If he was playing for me, mm-hmm, it would have been either the year before.
Okay.
Or
You remember if he was the first
He come in black first. He was the first
child that you coached?
Yes, he
okay.
was.
So
yes,
he was. So that could have been the first integrated
yes,
team then.
It could have been, yeah.
Okay. And then speaking about integration and race relations, can you just tell me what your personal experience was with race relations before integration?
Before integration, really, I didn't know much about it, really. Like I say, being raised mostly in Burke and Diboll, you know, we didn't mix. And
right.
So,
had you had any experience of, like, as a child being around the black community in any way?
I had none whatsoever.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
So when integration began being talked about, you know, what was your first knowledge of integration? Can you remember?
No, I can't really remember what my first knowledge of it was, only just all the marches that's happening in Alabama and Mississippi and stuff, but here, no.
Oh, just things going on in the world.
Yeah, in the world, yes.
But not anything personally going on in Diboll.
No, I don't believe Diboll had many problems with it. I really don't.
Did you have any concerns or feelings about it when you knew the integration of the school was going to take place, and then later, you know, we know the baseball was integrated. Did you have any concerns or fears about it?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't have no fears or no concern about it because, like I say, I knew nothing about it. So
okay. It
was a learning process for me, too.
And when the Little League was integrated, you had been coaching for several years,
yeah,
if you started in 61. Yeah. Were there meetings pertaining to, you know, hey, we're going to integrate the Little League program? Was there a discussion about it or anything like that?
There was a discussion. Well, the coaches did discuss it. You know,
mm-hmm,
but as far as really any town meetings or nothing, no.
Okay.
We were just told that it was going to happen.
Okay.
And we had to accept it, which I had no problem with it. But,
when you say you were told, was there any particular powers that be that
no,
you're referring
wasn't.
To?
No, it was not.
Okay. Just general, overall, that integration was coming.
It was coming, yes.
Okay. Now, the schools started Freedom of Choice in 1965 and 66. You know, the children could choose. And then 67, the high school was integrated. And then by fall of 68 was full integration.
Yeah.
So it looks like if this 1967 team that you coached with the Emmett King being a black student and player on that team, it looks like that might have coincided with, you know, the freedom of choice and the integration of the high school.
It probably did, yes. I would think it would, probably.
Do you recall if there were any coaches that were just against it? I mean, did anybody voice opposition to it?
It was one that did and didn't really want it, but other than the other three, it was fine with
it was
other
fine.
Two.
So there were still just these four teams?
Still just these four teams.
And so it came down to just this coaches meeting and y'all discussing it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, so that answered my next question. There were four coaches involved then still at that time. And still then there were just the four teams?
Four teams.
Okay. Now, once they began integrating, you know, the baseball program, how did they recruit the black children to come over and play integrated
They just announced it in school.
Oh, they
and
did.
The ones that could come over, that wanted to come over, which was very few.
Very few, okay.
And they came over, and we picked them just like we picked the white boys.
Okay. And, were the parents involved? Did the parents come?
The parents, some of them came, few of them.
Was there ever any, discussion amongst the parents?
Not that I know of.
Or controversy?
Not that I know of.
So like at school, they were just passed out? A sign-up sheet?
I would assume that's what they did, just passed out a sign-up sheet.
Okay. Do you ever remember going to the H.D. Temple School, which at that point would have still been an all-black school? Do you ever remember going there to recruit the children to play?
No, we didn't go to a school and recruit any players, black or white.
Oh, okay.
And we just had sign-up day, and pretty well like they do today.
Oh, okay.
And they come down and...
Signed up
that...
Okay.
They wanted to play. Of course, it didn't cost them nothing then.
Right.
It was, everything was free.
It was free then.
Yeah.
Okay, so who supported it? Who supported it financially back then?
Patsy, I think that we just made do with what we had mostly, and what little we could raise out of the concession stand and the kids selling candy during the year and stuff like that. But we didn't have no booster club to give any money.
Okay, that's what
like
they
that.
Didn't have the booster club then.
Uh-uh.
And what about the company or Mr. Temple? Was
as far as I know, he may have given something, but I wasn't in the running of the program, and so I don't know. But if he did, I didn't know nothing about it.
Okay. Who was like president? I know they had a president of the Little League.
Yeah.
Who was president at that time in these 67 years that we're speaking of?
It seems to me that it was Milford Ruby.
Okay.
But I believe it's...
Okay.
Because we had Milford Ruby, then we had Mr. Shepherd for a while, George McLean. But
and they weren't coaches, they were just the whole program?
They were just presidents and things like that
Okay. So you don't recall any, money came in to buy uniforms or T-shirts or bats and balls or anything like that?
You know, somebody had to be giving them money, some kind of money, and probably was the company, because we had full uniforms in for the kids.
Mm.
And, of course, they used them more than 1 year.
Yeah.
But
They turned them in and reused them,
but somebody had to. I don't believe they raised that much money in the concession stand,
Right.
But that I have no knowledge of where the money came from. But I would assume that it would be the company that
could have supported it.
I believe it probably was.
Okay. Now, how did the players interact with each other the first years of integration? So this specifically, we can look back and refer to this team in the 67 year, your Dodgers team, where you had Emmett King.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any problems with the children, interacting with each other, the black
No,
and
there was not, because it was very few, the first couple of years. So really, I don't recall any on any other team, but on my team, no, we didn't have not.
So everybody just
any.
Accepted
everybody
in
just,
it?
Yes, everybody just accepted
part of the team.
Part of the team. And,
Here's a photograph that I found from 1966 Free Press article, and this is... I'm not sure the name of the team. I guess this is maybe your Dodgers, but there's no black players on there. And then in 67, we have a photograph of your Dodgers team right here where Emmett King is playing. So in 67. And then there was an Ernest Washington on the Cubs.
Yeah.
And you had Emmett King.
Yeah.
So it looks... From these photographs, there were just very few.
It was very few
boys.
Yes, it was very few. For
did it? Can you recall if through the years after this, how it increased and the reason for that?
I think every year actually it increased a little more every year till we finally had to add more teams and it.
Do you think that was due to anything as far as the parents just becoming comfortable with it? After the integration, the first years, and it kind of settled down?
I think so, but really, I think the black parents were more concerned with it than the white parents were, really,
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going by my conversations with Queen King
mm-hmm.
later on in through the years, you know.
Okay. Anything particular you care to share?
And she was, you know, she just told me that the kids was really hesitant about coming over because they had never been around whites either, you know, just like a white kid had never been around the black.
Right.
And she had to push, and I would go over to get Emmett. He wouldn't play. He wouldn't want to play, so I'd go over to his house and get him and tell him, come on and play, you know. And years later, she thanked me. She come on and thanked me for that, you know. She said, I believe if you hadn't have done that, he would have never went on in sports and done what he done, you know.
Oh.
Because he really didn't want to.
He didn't want to just come on his own.
Come on his own.
Did you just know that he was interested in it?
Yes, I did, because I could tell by him out there playing. He was real interested, and he was real good.
Okay.
And so he wouldn't show up, and I would go over there and say, hey, what's the matter? You know, come on, man.
Okay.
We're going to go play. And he would go.
Okay.
And he was a good kid. And,
so he got comfortable with it.
Yeah, he got comfortable. And then I think as the years passed, you know, after the first year, you had more. They would, I'm sure, tell their friends. And
yeah,
they would
come on and come play.
Yeah.
So it just kind of grew.
He kind of grew from there, yeah.
Well, I could see where, you know, just common sense would tell us that they could have had some fears, especially at this age,
yes,
your 9-10-year-old boys,
yeah,
that you had. So, of course, you know, if they had not been around the black community,
right,
the white community and white kids, they would have had fears.
Yeah, but, you know, neither one, white or black, had never been around.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and you take 9-10-year-old kids, because see, then the Little League consisted of 9 through 12.
Okay.
So, we didn't go no higher than that then.
9 through 12. Did they have T-ball then like they do now?
They had some form of it, but it wasn't an organized form
organized.
Of it, no.
So they didn't keep going to the playoffs
you know,
to get to Williamsport or whatever. It wasn't organized like that. Okay. Okay. Now, did the parents of the black students come and attend the games?
Very few of them did.
Okay. Because there were very few playing.
And very few playing.
Okay.
Now, you know, Queen and Lindbergh, they was always there. But
okay. And if they were there, were there ever any problems
there was
amongst
never,
the parents
I don't
as far
know.
As race relations?
No. Even the players had no problems as far as I know. Now, we had some problems outside the fences with the bigger boys showing up, you know, and black and white, causing trouble, but we had none.
On your fields?
On the fields.
You mean like high school kids or older boys, bystanders?
Yeah, bystanders.
Maybe getting into some friction?
Yeah.
Okay.
And but I don't think the parents had any problems at all.
Okay. Do you have a personal experience of anything happening in regards to integration that you'd like to share, whether good or bad?
You know, Patsy, I can't think of anything that I would.
And how long were you involved with the Little League program as a coach?
Total 25 years.
25 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did you coach your own children through Little League and stuff? Or were you just had an interest in it?
Well, I had an interest, see, because, of course, mine was all girls.
Okay.
And so later on, in the process, when my girls got up big enough to play, of course, they couldn't play Little League. Me and Dewey Wolf started the girls' league. And then I coached the girls.
Okay.
So for a
few
years.
Well, I did notice in the Free Press that they started the girls' softball later. I can't remember exactly what years,
yeah,
but is that how that got started?
That's
then?
How that got started, yes.
Okay. They did not have girls softball before that?
No, they did
so
not.
So you helped get that started here?
Yeah.
You and Dewey Wolf?
Me and Dewey Wolf,
okay. Was it controversial or was it well accepted? Did you have any problems
with
it going?
No. And we built that the same way we built the Little League. We had didn't have very many girls wanting to play, so we had to let the little ones play on up through the big ones. You know, they play together out there still till we got enough interest in it that, you know, we could split up the age groups.
Right. Do you know about what year that was when you started the girls' softball?
See, let me. I can come pretty close to it because my middle daughter, which she was born in '65, And I would think she would be about 10 or 11 years old when we started. So around 75, I would think.
Okay. And what was her name?
Kim.
Okay. So it was when she got old enough to play.
Yeah, and she wanted to play.
And she wanted to play, then you helped get the girls' softball organized.
Yeah.
Now, what field did y'all play on then?
Well, we just played it in the field.
The same Little League field?
No, we just
had out in a field.
In a field. Out there by the...
Literally, huh?
Yeah, in a field, yeah.
Okay.
So,
now, I noticed in the... I believe it was 1979 Free Press article where they're expanding the Old Orchard Park, the city park complex, and they're proposing to add Little League fields and softball fields.
Yeah.
You know, the new park was established over there in the 68 or somewhere in there, and they built the new high school field, which they later named the Pop Jordan Field.
Right.
But, and that was around 68 when they did that. And then in 1978, I found this article where they're proposing to add Little League fields, you know, over in Old Orchard Park. So, for all that time frame, were y'all still playing, like, where the bank is?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We played there until they moved over there, right?
Was there any campaign, you know, to the city between you coaches to get new fields, or was this something the city just
did? This something the city decided to do. I guess they seen a need for it.
Okay.
Because we done got big enough that it's hard to play on one field, you know.
Okay. Did you have any input, you know, as a coach? You were still coaching then, you know, in all this time. Did you have any input with city officials on, you know, what was needed?
At that time right there, I had dropped out of coaching.
Okay.
And I didn't coach when they was actually moving over there. But I come back. I dropped out 3 or 4 years and I come back.
You came back. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I guess they just, like you said, they just saw there was a need.
Yeah. They saw
the program grew. And we know today it's still a big program.
Yeah. Well, you can imagine today if you're trying to play everything on one field out there, you know.
It'd be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Yeah. Okay. I noticed in 1985 you received a community service award from the Dieball Rotary Club for your association with the Dieball Youth Baseball Program for 20 years. Anything you care to share with me about that award? You know, how you were chosen for that?
Or? No, I have no idea how they chose me, Patsy. Felton Burt and Alan... I can't even think of his last name, that had the little food store in Dieball. Had bought out Fat Pablix's old food store over there. Moss Hart, was it Moss Hart?
I know it became Seals Grocery.
Yeah, but that it was.
But that wasn't him?
No.
I'm not sure.
But anyhow, there was one over that club, and they just asked me to come to a meeting down there.
The Rotary Club.
The Rotary Club meeting, and I went and... That's when I got the award.
Oh, so it was a surprise.
It was a complete surprise.
Okay. Now, did you ever serve as director of the Little League program?
Yes, I did.
You did?
For 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. What years was that? That would have been one of them years right there when I got that award.
The award? Yes. Oh, okay. And you got the award in 85, so somewhere around in there. So you were serving as director.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how did that come about? Like, you know, if you were a coach, and then, you know, were you just chosen by the coaches to become director, or did y'all just take turns, or?
No, we didn't take turns. Felton Bird again had come ask me would I take it, because it was not nobody wanted that job.
Oh, okay.
So,
was he involved with Little League program?
Yes, he was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned Milford Ruby earlier, and I know for a lot of years he was president or maybe this director title. I don't know if it's the same position, but just somebody over it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was kind of like your job as director, or say when Milford was president, to make sure you had enough coaches and umpires, and you just kind of oversaw it and equipment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And today they have the same thing, except it's in a little bigger capacity.
A lot bigger capacity.
Okay. Did you, as director, do you remember specific needs, you know, or problems with the program that you had to deal with?
No, we had no, we didn't. Except the director had to be there every time, to, as long as the lights was on, you know. That's why they had a hard time getting somebody to do that, because...
Oh, it was a lot of hours
involved.
It was
a lot of hours involved in it.
Okay.
Non-paying hours.
Yeah, volunteer hours, yeah. Now, also, in 2001, you were honored for your service to the Diboll Youth Baseball Program, and your name was added to the Wall of Honor.
Yeah.
Down at the complex. Anything in regards to that that you want to share?
No, again, that was a surprise till they put it up, you know. Gary Mack Smith spearheaded that.
Okay.
Because he was playing ball with us at the same time like Emmett King and all them was, you know. He was, he didn't play,
he was
played
a
on a different
then.
Team, yeah.
Okay. So you volunteered for 25 years.
Total 25 years, yeah.
With baseball, okay. Well, I'm sure you had an impact on many a child then.
Yes. Yeah.
Any particular, you know, game or incident or child that you know, have a fond memory of that you care to share?
I have a fond memory of every one of them that I coach, really, you know. I don't think about them a lot until I see them at times, you know, mm-hmm. But when I see them, I coached Howard.
Yeah.
I coached John. In fact, John was playing on the team, the first team I taken, when I taken the team over there, yeah. So,
talking about this Dodgers, the Burke Dodgers.
Yeah.
Now, were all those boys from Burke?
Yeah.
They were on your team?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just go around recruiting, or did they come to you and say, hey, I want to play on your team?
Well, I taken over, the first year I taken over was Burke.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the first year I coached, it was Burke. The next year, they integrated them with Diboll, and
okay.
So we had Diboll boys and
right.
Burke boys on there. But.
So today, it's just a matter of if you run into boys that you coached, you know, it's just fond memory.
Oh, yeah. Well, like Emmett, see, he'll still call me every once in a while. Emmett still calls me every once in a while.
Oh, wow. Yes. Well, that's wonderful. And, well, he turned out to be a great sports player all around.
Yes, so.
That's great. Now, anything else pertaining to Little League that I have failed to ask you that you want to put on the record, or, you know, anything that you want to share before we move on?
No, I can't. It's the only thing I say, I think we had a whole lot better program back then than they have now.
Well, there's a lot of kids down there, I know that.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to ask you about your Diboll Day activities as well. And I was, because you were here in Diboll during the integration, year before integration, during integration, and still, you know, have lived in Diboll all these years. But we're trying to determine when Diboll Day activities were integrated. Do you recall anything about segregated Queens races? That they had separate Diboll Day Queens. They had the Black Queens and the White Queens before integration. Do you remember anything about Diboll Day before integration?
You know, I don't. I don't.
We do know from Free Press articles that they had.
They had them. I know
they had them. And they had one parade, and then, you know, the Black community celebrated at Walter Allen Park, and the White community celebrated, you know, at Old Orchard Park. But I was just wondering if you had any...
My dealings with
memory
of Diboll Day is would been in 1970. You know, when went to work for Mr. Shepherd, and you know he was a big, and he come and got me because he knew I had worked with kids to run the Diboll Day for the Fiverr Board division.
Oh, okay.
And
so in 1970, you were working at the Fiverr Board for Mr. Shepherd.
Yes.
Well, he was a big Diboll Day fan and promoter. So
that
you
come
actually
first. That come first.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Before work. Huh?
Yeah.
anything about that Dieball Day and Mr. Shepherd that you want to share, you know, a certain memory or certain Dieball Day event or anything, you know, a fun memory?
No, but I do. Only thing I say about the integration part of that he was big on, he was wanting to get every race into this Dieball Day Queen. And he pushed for that hard.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did. And
like making sure that there was a girl representative of each race?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Especially the black and white. You know,
okay.
He wanted the black race. Of course, we didn't have too many Spanish people here then, you know.
Right.
Not until 1969 and 70 when we didn't have any, and we didn't have any that wanted to do anything like that, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
So he really wanted to get everybody involved.
He wanted to get everybody involved. And,
okay.
And,
is there any thing that you remember, how he went about doing that? And, you know, did they just,
did he just
encourage them to participate or anything particular?
Yeah, he did. He encouraged the parents to let the kids do this.
Know,
the ones that was working in that plant. I don't know nothing about the other plants, but
okay. So, like he would encourage his employees.
Yes, his employees to okay. Let's let your daughter be a candidate for this. You know.
Okay.
And of course, they had to vote on him.
Right.
But if Mr. Shepherd wanted it, he was going to get it.
Okay.
You know,
so really, he just went, his employees and men at the fiberboard. He just encouraged them.
Yeah.
To
and,
let
and
their,
I think
to let
every plant done pretty well the same thing. You know.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're just trying to determine, you know, if Dieball Day events were completely integrated, you know, around the same time that the schools were integrated. Full integration was 1968.
Well, I think they were fully integrated in 1970. Now,
yes, they were. Oh, you mean Dieball Day
Dieball
events?
Day. Yeah,
oh,
I think I believe they were, because either 70 or 72, Deborah Washington, you know, was our queen candidate at the fiberboard plant. And I believe she was one of the first.
Yes, she was the first black queen after integration, integrated Dieball Day activities, yes. So that could have been, you know, the year or two after.
Yeah.
If it was integrated, 68 was school integration.
Yeah.
I believe she was, I don't have the exact date, but she was maybe 72 or 74
somewhere in there.
Okay. I knew that you were involved with Dieball Day for a lot of years. Are there any other years that you were involved? I mean, how long were you involved with Dieball Day activities?
Dieball Day, well, from 1970 to 1988, I believe.
Okay. Was it a lot of fun?
It's a lot of fun.
Now, one year your daughter ran.
Yes.
Okay, Celsa.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact year.
I can't either, but...
I know I helped with y'all then, too. We had a lot of fun.
And I'm glad I just had one daughter to run.
That was enough.
It's enough.
Okay. Now, tell me about your employment with Temple Industries. You said in 1970 you worked for Mr. Shepherd.
Yeah.
Is that when you began working at the plant?
Yeah, I started working in 1969, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you retire from there?
I quit from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How long did you work for the company?
11 years. 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you had your own business
yes.
at one point.
Yeah.
Okay. I may have asked you this before, but I can't remember. Did you have any children in school during the integration years?
I don't think I did, no.
That would have been 65 through 68.
No, 65, because, see, my oldest daughter was born in 61.
Okay.
So
she wouldn't have been in school then.
She wouldn't have been in school at that time, no.
Okay.
Shortly after, but not
shortly after.
Yeah.
So not during all that integration process where they were making all these decisions?
No.
To where, as a parent, you would have voiced any concerns?
No.
Okay. I failed to ask you earlier who some of the other coaches were during the time, especially, you know, these early years of the Little League program.
Well, see, Mark Warner, Pete Smith, Lester Tindall, Howard Mullins, Charles Howard, just to name a few there that in the early years of it.
Okay. Now, in the early years, like, you were the coach of the Dodgers, and say, you know, another, you know, say, Howard Mullins, he was coach of a particular team.
Yeah.
Did you keep the same team year after year, regardless of what boys were on there?
We kept the same team every
year. Okay, because that seemed to be what I noticed in the Free Press articles. You know, like, you were several years there, you were the coach of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Where now, it seems like, you know, fathers that are coaches, they move, you know, with their children.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was just curious of, you know, if you had a son playing on your team, or maybe you didn't, and then, but you kept the same team. I just wondered how that worked back then.
See, we like I said, at that time, the age group was 9 to 12, 9 through 12. So if we got a 9-year-old boy, we had it 4 years.
Oh, okay.
And we kept that same. We kept the same team every year.
Oh.
The boys stayed on the same team every year, and you would pick up as the 12-year-olds went off. You would pick up
to fill in your team.
Fill in your team.
Oh, okay. So that's totally different than today.
Totally different.
Okay, now I understand.
And totally better.
Because I wondered how you continued to be the Dodgers coach. You know, for 4 years, and you had the same group of boys, or for several years there. So, Little League was ages 9 through 12.
Yeah.
And you as a coach, you would have had your same team and your same team name. You coached the same. And then as 12-year-olds, you know, got too old, others would
come on
and you'd pick them up.
Yeah.
But you kept your same team.
Yeah, you kept
the
same team.
Wow, that is so interesting. Okay.
The same team.
Yeah, that's very different.
And which is, to me, that's a better way of doing it than the way they do it today.
Well, your boys get used to playing with each other.
They're playing with each other. And
just like high school.
Just
they
like
play
high school.
For 4 years.
And then changing teams every year, that don't, to me, it's not good. But I guess to them it is. But I'm not involved in it anyway.
So it's not like you had a coaches meeting and you pick your kids every year. You just had the same team.
You had the same team. And what we would have we call a tryout day.
Okay.
On one Saturday. And if I had to pick up three boys, well, they'd get out there and play a little bit, and the coaches would pick in turn a kid to be on their team until you filled up your players.
Okay.
And when you filled up your team, well,
you were full.
You're full.
Okay.
You didn't pick no more. So,
now, what if there were more kids than there were spots? Did you ever have that problem?
No.
Or like today, you know, they make a spot for every kid, regardless of what it takes, right?
Well, yeah, we did that there too then.
Oh, okay.
But we'd fill up our teams first, and then if it was any left over, because you're going to always have some drop out after you start and all that stuff.
But okay.
If they didn't, well, everybody wanted to play got to play.
Okay. Now, how did you, where did y'all get your umpires from?
Just volunteers.
Volunteers, dads.
Dads.
Okay.
We had Travis Groom for many years that would come down there and do it, you know. But mostly just dads. And.
Were they paid
then? No.
No, just volunteers.
Yeah, everything was volunteer.
Okay, now they're paid now,
they're
right?
They're paid now, yeah.
Okay. So what major changes in the Little League program do you see, you know, today as compared to when you were coaching?
Mothers. is the main
thing. What about discipline?
Yes. When I was coaching way back there when, them boys on the field, they was ours, as long as we had them on the field. And mamas didn't. Out of all the time I coached down there, I had, before I dropped out a few years and then went back, I had two problems out of two mamas. Never had a problem out of a dad.
Hmm.
But then, in 80s, I went back and coached some more. And had all kinds of problems out of mamas. And that's why I said, I'm not going to do this.
Didn't want to have to deal with the mamas.
Didn't have no problem with the kids. That had problems with the mamas.
Well, I'm sure from the 60s to the 80s, you could see a lot of difference in discipline.
All
situations.
The difference in the world.
Yeah. Because probably if you had a problem with a kid in the 60s, you knew you could depend on that parent to straighten, help you.
They were straightening them out. Yes, you didn't have no problem.
You just didn't have no problems with them. Yeah, yeah.
And now you don't have nothing but problem with them.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah. So everybody kept their same team, the same coaches. And then can you remember a time when, you know, when it started to grow and there were more than these four teams? You know, you mentioned the Yankees, the Indians, the Cubs, and the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know, can you remember the time frame of when it grew and you had to get more teams?
I can't remember what years it was. No, I can't. But I know we would add a team. I think we added two teams. Yeah.
Okay.
And we played like that for a good while. Then after that, we had to go to, you know, like eight teams. And it's hard to play with an uneven amount of teams, you know what I mean?
Yeah, to make it come out
yeah.
right. Now, in your early years, the 61 years, did y'all just play in dive ball amongst these four teams?
Okay.
And now, did they have all-stars
yes.
then?
Uh-huh.
How did that work back then?
It's the same way, basically the same way it works now.
Oh, okay.
But we were Little League then.
Okay.
See, we wasn't Dixie League.
Oh, okay.
And
it was different. It was specific
Little League.
To Little League.
Yes.
Okay, and now they have Dixie League.
Dixie League. And,
okay.
Which is...
a little bit different.
Joke. but, yes.
Okay.
But we was in the Little League organization then.
Okay.
And... which, you know, the boys, we never did have a team good enough, but when you had to struggle to pick up four teams, you're not going to Williamsport, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So,
Now, did you, as a coach, you know, have to buy equipment yourself for your team?
No, they did furnish equipment.
Okay.
We didn't.
Was that ever an issue, having funds?
No,
it
never was.
Okay. You mentioned that it was, you know, concession stand and just, you know, you're really not sure about the funding, but, you know, how all that was, because the children didn't pay anything.
No, they didn't pay anything, but, you know, we taking care of equipment back then, because we knew
that you had to.
We had to. Now, if a coach had a boy on it, little boy on his team that his parents just couldn't buy him a glove and something, you know, we may go buy him a glove, but... we didn't have to do that.
Now, did the kids turn their shirts in
yes.
at the end of the season? You reused them.
We used
them. Now they don't do that.
No.
Everybody buys their own, right?
We had full uniforms back then, you know, regular baseball uniforms. And they would, so we couldn't have too many boys on a team because we didn't have a uniform. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have no spare uniform. I think we had 15 is what, you know, we could have on a team.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got up to 15 boys, well, you had to stop.
You had to stop, yeah. Now, do you ever remember another specific black player other than Emmett King that you coached? You know, anybody come to mind?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he was...
You mentioned that, you know, years later that it really meant a lot to him and to his mother. I just wondered if there was another...
But there were several, but they don't come to mind.
Okay.
Now, when I see them, I think of them, but...
Right. Okay. Okay. All right. And is there anything else you want to add that I haven't asked you about? Whether it's Little League, dive ball, just anything particular?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, Sonny, that's all my questions I have. And I really thank you for spending time with me today. And thank you for doing the interview with me.
Well, I hope it helped you. And I hope you got some useful information out of it.
I'm sure we did. Thank you again.